Triple bottom line. According to the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary, sustainability involves an organizational focus on activities that provide present benefit without compromising the needs of future generations. C. Sustainable specification. The triple bottom line, TBL, concept has three components that create a sustainable business model, as shown in Exhibit 8-10. Exhibit 8-10. Triple bottom line. The TBL links a company's ability to keep operating, economic sustainability, with the two other key measures, environmental and social contributions. Originally coined in 1987 by the Brundtland Commission in Europe, this term was popularized by John Elkington in his book Cannibals with Forks, Triple Bottom Line of 21st Century Business. Elkington believes that for an organization to be economically viable over time, it must reinvest some of its profits in market growth. One area of reinvestment is in improving the organization's reputation. Today's customers and societies are demanding that organizations make a positive impact on the environment and society. Organizations that listen to these demands and make the required investments should see more market growth than those that ignore such demands. Making all three of these components into bottom lines, or top-level organizational success indicators, usually requires a company to modify or change its business model. It cannot be an afterthought. Integrating triple bottom line thinking into the various aspects of the business involves creating a business plan that reflects the organization's commitment to conservation and stewardship. Such a plan spells out the company's mission, marketing, operations, pricing, and growth strategies, and explains how it will integrate environmental and social elements into its business strategy. If the business plan determines ways to satisfy all three of these bottom lines at once, this is what Elkington calls the sustainability sweet spot. This is represented as the center of the Venn diagram in Exhibit 8-10. These strategies should cascade into the planning, goal setting, and processes of key functions within the company. Once this occurs, the organization should have a truly comprehensive accounting and performance reporting mechanism to measure its progress on multiple levels. Economic performance. In order to design and operate a sustainable business and supply chain, we need to build a foundation of knowledge about sustainable business practices and how they contribute to the financial well-being of a company and impact its supply chain. Economic or financial performance is tangible and can be viewed from both short-term and long-term perspectives. But there is an incentive to promote the short-term over the long-term in today's business culture. The TBL provides incentives to balance short and long-term perspectives. Since economic performance is the traditional bottom line for an organization, in the TBL, economic performance is the first bottom line. So how will you balance the financial needs of the organization in the immediate future as well as in 1, 5, or 10 years? What is the right 1009 of metrics and incentives for the organization and its supply chain? Are the critical players on board and in agreement? Oftentimes in organizations with sustainability initiatives already underway, there is no alignment of the financial related goals of the different functions involved in the supply chain, which results in trade-offs between short and long-term performance. For instance, in Fudging the Supply Chain to Hit the Number, authors Gotzel and Van Hook found that sales managers and financial managers were too eager to make their short-term targets and would consequently sacrifice best practices of supply chain management in order to make the numbers look better. There is often a gap between these two functions and the supply chain team, which is quick to offer examples of their integrated supply chain efforts being derailed by sales and marketing's activities. Here are some examples of the trade-offs companies sometimes make between short and long-term performance. In order to meet its end-of-month or reporting period targets, the sales department moves orders to periods about to end by giving the customer incentives to order now, such as discounts or competitive payment terms. This impacts the supply chain by putting a crunch in the capacity at the end of the period to fulfill these artificially inflated customer orders and leaves little demand for the beginning of the next period. One way to resolve this is to provide incentives to the sales departments on margin as well as revenue, because these last-minute orders carry a lower margin. Lower margins are not good for short and especially long-term performance. Sometimes the wrong metrics are being used to make short-term customer service appear better than it actually is. Instead of tracking orders that are delivered by the customer's requested due date, companies often track delivery by a promised date that it sets. What needs to be done is to track customer service using both request date and promise date, because the request date originates with the customer and directly impacts customer satisfaction. customers can take their business to a company that will meet their request date. However, since the request date may not be reasonable or feasible, also tracking a promised date can show that the organization was working to set realistic expectations. Many customers will happily accept a different date than requested if it is explained upfront and then fulfilled as promised. Creating a large anticipation inventory, particularly of seasonal products, is another frequent occurrence that looks like it is beneficial, but can actually require increased warehouse capacity and raise short-term inventory holding costs. For example, a manufacturer usually must place its orders with suppliers in February for the following Christmas or Hanukkah season, 10 months before the event. However, there are inevitably shortages of popular products and too much stock of others. A more effective approach is to segment product lines into two types: shorter cycle times for higher variability items versus longer cycle times for products with more stable demand. Manipulating customer orders or inventory on a balance sheet is called window dressing when it is done in legal ways, but it harms long-term sustainability. When it comes to manipulating orders, this is one way it happens. A fairly conservative forecast is made for the following quarter's sales reported to the stock market. When those sales targets are met before the end of the quarter, new shipments of customer orders are held until after sales results have been reported to the market so as not to overperform. Then customer shipments resume again, resulting in reports that show sales peaks at the start of each reporting period. However, these faux sales peaks increase supply chain variability, which in turn requires additional capacity being added, thereby increasing costs and decreasing shareholder value. The tactics can harm customer service too, because delays just for revenue recognition purposes do not have the customer's needs in mind. Environmental performance. The following terms from the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary help illustrate the various ways organizations can define themselves as environmentally responsible. Environmentally responsible business, a firm that operates in such a way as to minimize detrimental impacts on society. C. Green manufacturing, green supply chain. Environmentally responsible manufacturing, a collection of manufacturing activities that includes design of the product, facility, manufacturing processes, logistics, and supplier relationships that reduce or eliminate environmental waste through innovation and improvements. Environmentally sensitive engineering, designing with consideration of how a product or its packaging will ultimately be disposed. Environmental issues and efforts include sustainable and safe products and services, including packaging, resource use, production processes, and reverse logistics. Improvements in these areas are tangible and can be measured, usually over a period of a few years. An environmentally responsible supply chain manager must think of the overall functions that are included in the entire supply chain and look for causes and effects related to environmental impact. Examples of linked supply chain decisions that can benefit environmental sustainability follow. Procurement. Can you select vendors who use ISO 14000 standards that help companies improve environmental performance, or who can be certified by the organization? Is it possible to use recycled materials instead of new? Do we need to use non-renewable resources, or can we find substitutions? Manufacturing. Is the product designed for the supply chain? How might the manufacturing process be made more environmentally friendly? Can the use of toxic, dangerous, or hazardous materials be reduced or eliminated? What environmental risks might arise during the production process? Will they impact the safety of employees or cause an accident that would damage the environment? Warehousing and transportation. Can we use existing facilities or rent facilities that are environmentally designed? How will inbound or outbound traffic impact the local environment? Can we use recyclable packaging and shipping materials? What type of carrier choice would be best environmentally as well as economically? Is the carrier licensed, certified, or trained as needed to handle our products? Which transportation mode or modes would leave the smallest carbon footprint? Reverse logistics. How will we set up a process for gathering products for recycling, reuse, etc.? Where will we store any toxic, hazardous, or dangerous materials or components? What industrial processes will be used to separate or disassemble products? How will these products or components be stored safely? How will the public view this opportunity for recycling? How can we take it one step further environmentally? You can also use the Environmental Score Registered Trademark Model component called Green Score. Its performance attributes focus on environmental concerns. Research sponsored by the U.S. Office of the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense, Installations and Environment resulted in the following environmental definitions: Reliability. Reliability is the ability to deliver the correct product to the customer. Reliability reduces waste from product discards and reduces air emissions and fuel use from extra transportation for returned products. Proper documentation enables all players in the supply chain to keep better track of hazardous materials or toxins that are embedded in certain products, thus allowing them to arrange for proper storage, handling, and disposal. Responsiveness. The environmental definition of responsiveness relates to measuring the changes in material movement velocity caused by processes intended to mitigate environmental impacts, such as pollution control or other regulatory steps in a process. Flexibility. Flexibility is the degree to which a company can meet the environmental demands of its customers. This pertains to the company's products and their production, transportation, recyclability, etc. Costs. These expenses include the costs of environmental compliance and cleanup, as well as energy costs.
Asset management.
Sustainable asset management practices take governance, environmental, and social aspects into consideration when making asset and investment decisions. Social performance. Social performance, sometimes called corporate social responsibility, CSR, involves respecting and supporting the needs and rights of employees, communities, and indigenous peoples. For employees, it can involve non-discriminatory hiring and labor management, providing living wages to employees matched to the cost of living in a region, providing reasonable benefits and accommodations, abiding by health and safety regulations, and respecting the rights of persons to form unions when allowed under the law. Community support can take the form of hiring local workers and reinvesting in local businesses by getting local supply when feasible. Charity efforts can also be directed to local causes. For Indigenous peoples, this involves fairly compensating these groups for any organizational impact on them and respecting treaties. Commitments to social performance often also need to be extended to supply chain partners, especially when manufacturing is primarily outsourced. Social performance can also involve encouraging employees to get involved in sustainability efforts. For instance, Intel did this by motivating their employees in several ways related to the environmental portion of their sustainability efforts. While the subject is on the environment, the employee participation and request accommodating portions are the social part. A system was established to measure green progress on three fronts: product efficiency, business operations efficiency, and stewardship. Intel asked its employees for suggestions on energy-saving and efficient products, software, and commuting options. They offered employees monetary bonuses for their efforts. Intel accommodated employee demands by installing solar panels and buying carbon offsets. A carbon offset is an investment in a renewable energy, forest protection, or reforestation project that can be used to offset the carbon dioxide producing activities of an organization or individual. A true commitment to social responsibility can influence competitive advantage, the organization's global and local reputation, employee morale and commitment, the opinions of its many stakeholders, and relationships with customers, suppliers, the media, the community, and other companies. In Vachani and Smith's article, Socially Responsible Distribution: Distribution Strategies for Reaching the Bottom of the Pyramid, the authors explain that socially responsible distribution encompasses efforts and activities to give market access to poor producers and consumers in less developed nations. These efforts help make up for their minimal physical links to markets, marginal buying power, and lack of information and communication infrastructure. Vachani and Smith identified three means of aiding these producers and consumers: lowering the cost of distribution, identifying different routes or means of reaching rural producers and consumers, and encouraging private sector businesses and communities to invest in their future and to be socially active and partially responsible for that success. Implementing sustainability. Many organizations talk about sustainability, but not many are translating their words into action. In Corporate Social Responsibility in Global Supply Chains, Matt Anderson notes how, despite environmental annual reports, voluntary efforts, and sustainability strategies, many companies are still not able or not committed to implementing sustainability in their own supply chains. One of the companies that is taking action is IKEA, a Swedish home furnishings retailer established in 1943. According to IKEA's supplier portal, as of 2021, IKEA had 1,600 suppliers in 55 countries with an 11-year average length of supplier relationship. IKEA's strategy is to engage in long-term relationships with fewer suppliers and the company is committed to helping these suppliers do their best environmentally. The company has developed a code of conduct that the suppliers must adhere to in order to work with IKEA. The code delineates the requirements for the outside environment and the social and working conditions in an initiative IKEA calls IWAY. If a supplier is not able to meet those standards in an ongoing manner, they are asked to develop an improvement plan that they will implement. Follow-up audits are conducted at later dates. As long as there are signs of improvement, IKEA and the supplier will continue to work together. The IKEA culture has long been known as one that trains its employees well on production-related environmental and social issues. Its employees thrive on being empowered with this knowledge, which helps them perform better and in a more green approach. But this also then carries over to IKEA suppliers. They term this transfer or sharing of knowledge as a knowledge-enhancing mechanism. Here are a few brief tips to get your organization and supply chain to become more sustainable. Start with things that fit in the sweet spot of solutions that simultaneously provide economic, environmental, and social benefits. Elkington's book has examples of this, such as Coca-Cola working to use less water in India to reduce the stress on the community and environment while saving money on water. In online ordering systems, place the more sustainable choices as the first options in lists. Make requests for proposal/invitations to tender and contracts specify sustainability as a criteria. Use service contracts to provide vendors with an incentive to reduce materials. For example, buying treated lumber rather than lumber treatment chemicals gives the supplier an incentive to minimize the amount of the chemical or make the product environmentally friendly. Do an audit on what composes the waste in the supply chain and determine if some parts of it could be prevented from entering the waste stream in the first place. Get an environmental safety or quality certification from an accredited third party.